Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Dude, how long has it been since we've done the show for WrestleBot?
About 2.5 months.
Oh my God! You know, I talked to. Thank God that Kevin Kleinrock is such a patient person. You know what I mean? Because I'm always calling him, going, "Bro, I'm so sick." He says, "Dude, don't worry about it. I know everybody has lives. Blah blah blah. Whatever. Just make sure if you can get this on, you know, whatever. Even if you could do something on not on your regular day, you know, we could take care of it and tape it. Blah blah blah. Whatever. So first of all, big props to Kevin Kleinrock for just being patient, but. Real quick for the people listening to us here on WrestleBoss, we're live finally. I know it's taking forever. I'm watching, I'm going to turn it off because I don't want to fall asleep on the air, but I'm watching Bron Breakker and them against, I don't know, the two Midnight Rocker lookalikes or whatever. I don't know who those guys are or whatever. So I might go put it on the Phillies as they're crushing Houston. So real quick before we continue, got my man Michael Parks there. Michael Parks. Even though I talked to you, well, first of all, I made Michael Parks meet me at 7 o'clock in the morning. So that just shows that he is hungry to get his stuff going and take care of stuff. So before we get into all the independent pro wrestling news or whatever, what's been going on, my man?
Man, just working and getting everything together for March.
It's funny because we talk a lot, you know, and Mike and I go back and forth because, believe me, I go back and forth with owners and bookers and stuff like that. And I told him, I said, it's all experience. So at least Mike has had a chance to see a lot of the do's and the don'ts of what's been going on or whatever. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of time to divulge more on that. But before we continue... at about the 7:15 mark, we got Ruben Iglesias coming up. Ruben Iglesias has a big show coming up called House of War Wrestling, Alpha versus Omega. So we're going to talk to him about that, talk a little bit about putting shows on, because it's been a while since he's been putting shows on, because it takes a lot of time, you know, in between to do it and everything like that. So we'll get him. And then at about the 7:45 mark, we're going to have Eddie Bernal on, who here's the thing, Mike. He just got the job as one of the assistant coaches for Pacific Palisades High School. So I want to get him in to talk because, you know, I did it for 6 years and I really enjoyed it. But there's some stuff I want to talk to him about that I did like about it and some that I didn't, you know, plus talking about wrestling for mixed martial arts. And, of course, you know, the wrestling season is right around the corner. You know what I mean? So we got Penn State, Iowa, and all that coming up. So I want to talk a little bit about the college scene. And then at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, we got Mark, I call him Mark O, coming on to talk about the big show coming up on November 5th, which is this Saturday, where I get my rematch with people who I don't want to divulge their name at this time because I'm so furious because they kicked Nicolette in the head. So, anyways, it's Louis. His name is Louis Alfaro, but Mason calls him Louis Alfredo. So we'll say Louis Alfredo and all that. But anyways, Mike, let me tell you how the weekend went, because Mike and I go to a lot of independent shows and stuff like that. But Mike had something going on this Saturday, so we met early, 7 o'clock in the morning, meeting, talking about shows and putting stuff together and venues and stuff like that. So, Mike, I went to the OCCW show, which was The Purge. So real quick, how do you think that went? We talk a lot, like, you know, you kind of see the same wrestlers or whatever. It's interesting or whatever, but I have a surprise. Well, not so much a surprise for you, Mike, but something I want to talk to you about. So how do you think that show went?
Awesome.
What do you think I should have expected and should not have expected?
You put me on the spot.
Well, look, let me tell you this, okay? You and I talk a lot because you've been to quite a few OCCW shows, and sometimes we're like, man, this dude would be good if he would wrestle. Like, I'll give you an example, like Rickster. You know that kid's going to deliver. He's got a lot of, I mean, he's young. He's you know, he reminds me of a cross of between like Pero Aguayo Jr. and Rush. You know, that just that look and the craziness that he comes out with. So we knew he was going to deliver, right? So that went pretty good. But you know what else Mike and I talk about is Inferno. Okay, to me, I think Inferno's got something there or whatever. But and I told Mike, I can't remember if he agreed with me on this or not. But I think he's a big fish in a small pond. You know what I mean? Because he's bigger than everybody else. He's running through people or whatever. Now, Mike, would you agree with me on that, or you think no? He's got some better competition up there.
Oh no, I totally agree. It's just the fact of who they're going to put him up against.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't know if you checked out my Facebook page, but if you see, there's a picture of myself and Mason with he used to be Venom Guerrero, but I don't know what happened. Maybe name stuff or whatever. But he's now Venom Nuclear. Okay, he's from out in the San Diego area. Big dude, muscular dude or whatever that works a lot of luchas, but he can work American style too. Dude, the only thing I wish you could have went to this match because he put it on Inferno. I mean, and believe me, Inferno was giving it right back. He was hitting him with some hard chops or whatever. But this was the first time that he, you know how I always say, well, this wrestler will bring it out of him. If he puts you against this guy, he's going to bring it out in him. And that's exactly what happened. He brought it out in Inferno because he had no choice. I mean, it was a guy that was the same size, maybe even a little bit more muscular than him, a dude that can work either style, you know, lucha or American style, strong style or whatever, and it was far and away the best match of the night. So I hate to rub it in your face, Mike, but remember we talked about that, and that's exactly what happened. You know what I'm saying? Now, have you ever seen Venom Guerrero? Because he's been back and forth from here in San Diego.
No, never.
Okay.
I've never seen it before. I don't know if they taped that match or whatever, but if I find it, I'm going to send it to you because it turned out to be, for me, match of the night. I mean, it went back. It was hard-hitting, you know, moves, wrestling at the beginning. You know, Venom Guerrero took him to the ground just to see what he's got, and you could totally tell, man, he was, you know, okay, let's see what you got on the ground. Boom, boom, and they were going back and forth. And then, you know, Inferno throws those mean chops. Dude, he turned around and chopped him right back. I mean, it was just back and forth, and it was, you know, easily the best match of the night on that show. I thought whoever booked that, which I don't know who did, really was smart to book that match because it really turned out to be good. The rest of it was okay. Like I said, Rickster delivered and stuff like that, but that match stood out, and this is how much it stood out. This is what I'm telling you people that are listening to us on WrestleBoss Live. If you come all the way down from San Diego and you put your heart and soul in that match and give Inferno a match like that, I went, I bought his shirt, I bought some of the photos and stuff like that because I'm going to support you, dude, because this dude is putting into it. You know what? This is how much I support him, Mike. I wear a 2X. All he had was extra large. I still bought a shirt. You know what I'm saying? But you kind of get what I'm saying about wrestlers like that?
Yeah, but I told you there was something about Inferno. There's just something about him that he has it, but like you said, there was nobody there to really. And so he wrestled somebody that was equal to or better than him, and he surprised you.
He surprised.
Yeah, and it took somebody like that to bring it out in him, and it did. It turned out to be a heck of a match, so that was great. So, anyways, because I got to get to Ruben, I got the big commercial break coming up. So, but that was Saturday night. It was cool. My nephew and Nicolette and I had a great time, or whatever. We were sitting behind what's his name, Red Spider Rudo's family. He's got little kids. Oh my God, they had me laughing. You know what they did? And I keep telling when I do shows to put this song on the intermission. They put that cha cha dance song, you know, skip to the left, slide to the right. Oh my God, these kids had me. I almost blew my hernia out because they did it step for step. And these are little kids. I mean, we're talking four or five years old, and they were doing the dance and stuff like that. And I couldn't stop dancing, and it makes me. I'm looking at them laughing because my mother-in-law. That happened at a party, and she goes, "Look at these kids. They don't know their multiplications, but they know every word of that goddamn song." that was them. So I had a really good time, man. It's nice to go and watch a show and just have a good time. So props to them for that show. It went really well. Now, I was booked for XWW the next show. So Mike and I were talking before we went on air, and dude, you know, I feel bad for, you know, people say, well, why do you keep working for this guy or whatever? But when I work for somebody and they pay me what they're supposed to and don't, you know, lie to me or whatever, I mean, whatever happens to your show, whatever, but I can't say, no, I can't work for this guy because people said you shouldn't or whatever. I mean, you know, I just can't do that. So we went, and it's not, I was telling Mike that only four people total showed up, okay? Now, this was Sunday night, and I was talking to Guyvar. And he goes, dude, I just talked to, I forget who he told me that was working Lucha Pro over on Florence and Maine. And he said, dude, they only had about 10 people show up over there. He goes, so it just must be the day because it's Sunday. It's the day before Halloween. A lot of people were taking their kids out on Sunday to parties because they were off on Monday. It was the big soccer finals. Pachuca beat somebody, so a lot of people stayed home to watch that. The Rams were playing at SoFi Stadium. So there was just so much to do that it just happened to be that. And I don't know how Inoki Dojo did because they ran over in Carson. I'm sure they got at least 20 people or so because they have a pretty big following. But you know, nobody showed up. So Marvin said, hey, man, I'm not going to go through tables and bleed and bust light tubes for four people so you guys could just go ahead and go home. I don't have a problem with it, dude. It was a Metroplex not too far from me, you know. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, now my nephew, on the other hand, was visibly shaken because he wanted to see some people go through tables or whatever. So that's what happened. But Mike, you know, living in California, dude, there's so much to do. That's a hard comp. What's it called? Like competition to get the fans in, because that's what we run up against. I mean, not that bad, but that's what we run up against, right? You know, you have to get that crowd and you have to get that date so that it's not coinciding with a lot of other events, right?
We've got to advertise.
Dude,
you're giggling, but I'm telling the truth.
Well, I'm giggling because how many times have we said that, and how many times have we gone through that? You know, dude, how is anybody going to come to your show if they don't know about it? Or, you know, if you tell a million people, even if you get four or five people to come for that million, that's four or five that you didn't have or whatever. So it just goes to show, you know, what we're talking about. But I got to take the big break, Mike, so I can get to Ruben. So let's take that, and we'll come back with Ruben Iglesias and talk about his big show coming up, because Nicolette's going to wrestle against butt stuff. So we'll leave it at that. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week, or when to try a new one. We've got a brand new video series kicking off this Sunday as photographer Jerry Villagrana debuts Photo Versus exclusively on the Lucha Central Facebook page. On each episode, Jerry and a fellow photographer go mano a mano comparing and sharing stories behind some of their most memorable photos. This week, Jerry welcomed Josh Garcia of Rudos Photo as they explored shots of Rey Mysterio. And this coming Sunday, Black Terry Jr. joins the show, and he and Jerry share photos of their favorite lucha dives. Don't miss the show. Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, only at Facebook.com/LuchaCentral. Monday, it's an elite episode of Business of the Business as Kevin welcomes the man behind the new AEW action figure line, Jeremy Hadauer, to the show to talk about writing letters to 1,000 famous people as a kid, getting into the toy business, creating the Jack WWF Classic line, his recent record-breaking Pokemon card purchase, and, of course, the launch of AEW Figures and Collectibles line. On Tuesday, Mass, and Mayhem gets a visit from El Inframundo when AAA and Lucha Underground star Drago stops by. Plus, the gang chops it up about the possibility of Mil Muertes in AEW, former Lucha Underground stars that are making waves, new additions to the Walls of Fame and Shame, and much more. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Bobby Chulo is back with Lucha Underground and Lucha Vavoom's Mariachi Loco and the Crash Lucha Libre's Mecha Wolf. Call in live to ask questions Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Find the video version on Facebook Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturdays download the audio version in podcast form. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, Los Angeles Misterioso pulls up to talk shop about his start in Lucha Libre, controversy surrounding the Misterioso name, and his rise to the independent scene, including international trips to Mexico, China, and Japan for Dragon Gate, plus working for New Japan here in the U.S. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows take a look back at Grand Metalik's biggest WWE match to date as he took on AJ Styles last Friday night on SmackDown. Plus, Lucha Times' latest news, including their alliance with DTU. Catch up on the top stories of the entire week in Lucha Libre in just 90 minutes. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platform. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Dude, now that she mentions Daga, it's funny because my nephew calls and goes, he's 10, and he goes, hey, how much you think we can get Daga for to come over from Mexico? And I go, I don't know if all the stars are online, we can maybe get him for $250, $300. He goes, all right, I'll chip in $50. Call Michael Parks, see if he wants to go in on us with that. I'm like, you got $50 or whatever. So, anyways, I'm sorry, Mike. Let me bring you back or whatever. I had you on mute because I think. Did you hear that, Mike?
Yeah.
So, I'm like, you know, we got a third partner here. Whatever. But it's funny because he calls me and because you know kids nowadays they have all that internet or whatever, and he goes, hey, man, did you see the match between this guy? And he said, yeah, we should bring this to it or whatever, but they think it's easy just to bring him, you know what I mean? So, anyways, for the people listening, we're here, we're at WrestleBoss Live, I got Michael Parks with me, let's give Ruben Iglesias a call, and we'll talk all things butt stuff and heavy hitters and things of that nature.
What's up?
Hello?
Hey, Ruben, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my man? Can you hear me? Can you hear me too, Mike? I don't know. I didn't hear Ruben there.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Okay, perfect. Hey, for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. We're going to be talking to Ruben Iglesias real quick, but I got my man Michael Parks here with me. Mike, say hi to Ruben real quick.
What's going on, man?
Hey, What's up?
Dude, before we continue, I got to tell you, man, you know, we got Ruben booked because Nicolette's on his show that looks, I mean, when I'm looking at the lineup, I'm like, dude, this is going to be a heck of a show. And I said, I'm going to put Ruben, so I had all these pictures and I'm going to put up or whatever. She goes, well, let me send you one because I have a good one for him. Gino told you so, sent it to me over there. I said, okay. So she said that. I said, man. That is classic. That is so. I put and I got more messages and emails and stuff. That was like, bro, is that his high school picture? Dude, is he doing portraits at Kmart when they used to have the Kmart portrait studio or whatever? So it generated more talk and everything than any other picture that I've ever.
That is
so
that is an awful picture.
Tell us. Give us the story behind that. Did you just pose for that, or how did that all come about?
No, I actually didn't have a screenshot. I was doing an interview.
Uh-huh.
for some documentary that Gino was doing. Nothing big. You know Gino, he thinks it's all big and he's a superstar, but he's not. So he had some people show up and they were doing a documentary and they're interviewing me.
Yeah.
And I think that's from like a screenshot from, you know, the video.
Yeah. Well, I think it was awesome. I mean, it was the talk of the town, so it was perfect. But real quick for the people that are listening to it, Ruben's got a big show coming up. It's House of War Wrestling. It's going to be the Alpha versus the Omega. It's Saturday, November 19th. It's at the House of Grace. It's at 12222 Philadelphia Street in Whittier, California. Now, Ruben, before we get into talking about the card and stuff like that, you know, Mike's been trying to get Pacific Wrestling Alliance off the ground, and it just takes so much. He had a show that was, you know, everything was ready to go. The bullets were in the chamber. He just had to pull the trigger, and then COVID hit, and it completely knocked everything out. So when that happened, the worst call that Mike had to make, and I won't speak for him, but just when we were talking, is to call these people and go, hey, bro, I'm so sorry, but the show got canceled. You know, we're going to redo it and stuff like that. So for the people listening to us, talk a little bit about that, because people are like, well, why aren't these guys running like once a month, or why aren't they running every Sunday or whatever? But, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but, you know, it takes a lot to put a show together, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And to be honest with you, you know, I can finally release the confirmation now, but I almost had to cancel this show.
Oh, my goodness. What happened?
I was so close to canceling and pulling the plug.
And what was
going on with the show? I confirmed it. I found it like 3 months ago. And the flyer just came out last week.
Oh, jeez. And was it, well, a lot of people, first thing in the States, oh, it must be financial, they can't pay the wrestlers or whatever. But sometimes it depends on the venue or whatever, or even something like, what happens a lot of times too is a lot of people don't want to run outdoors because they don't know what the weather's going to be like or whatever. Does that concern you at all? Because this show's going to be outside, right?
Yes, it is. It is a little concerning, but I'm trusting God will provide good weather for us.
Yeah. Well,
this is definitely going to be our last outdoor show.
Okay, okay. So are you going to change venues, or is it just going to go inside where you're at?
No, we're changing venues. So let me just kind of go over what happened and why it was so hard booking the show.
Go for it.
So I'm using the church, right? I've used the church before.
Right.
But now, since COVID hit, there's a company in the back. They share a parking lot. So the company went, you know, they went under, but they couldn't afford to stay in business because of COVID. So a new company came in, and they run 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Oh, jeez.
And they use that parking lot, like, nonstop. So it was really hard to first find out who was in charge. And by the time I found out who was in charge, they gave me the okay. And then they didn't give me the okay. And then the church double booked themselves because they thought I said October 19th, not November 19th. So I had to wait for them to move the event. And then the people in the back wanted to charge me to use the parking lot. So then I found out, talk to this guy, he's cool, he'll fix everything and he can go to the parking lot, no issue, no charge.
Yeah.
And it just took me forever to get a hold of him.
Oh, my God.
And when I finally did, he was cool. He said, don't worry about it. You can use the parking lot for a few hours. You know, we'll just hold off business for a couple hours. And I had to do it as a fundraiser, you know, to let them know, like, hey, you know, you're interfering with the church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's just some of the things that people don't see, the behind the scenes of what it takes to do a show. Because it's luckily that didn't happen last minute to where they said, well, we decided no, and then you got to make that call. Hey, bro. And then when you, regardless of what happens, if you have to cancel a show, everybody's like, oh, man, they don't know what they're doing. They didn't have the money to begin with or whatever.
Right,
and it turns into a whole thing as a reputation for the company, you know, as a whole, which is exactly what you don't want. But anyways, everything, you know, was able to come together. I'm certainly happy that it is. I want to go over this card real quick because when I was writing it down, I'm like, dude, this you know, this card is shaping up to be really, really good. Now, the one I'm most interested in, okay, is I'm not familiar with the Rock and Rodeo Express, okay, but they're going to go against you and Julio, WWE's Gibson brothers. So tell us a little bit about these guys.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you need to get the Gibson brothers on here together one day.
Oh, for sure.
But anyways, Rock and Rodeo Express, that's going to be interesting because we don't know much about them, never faced them before. I think I've only done a handful of shows with them. I don't really know what their offense is, what their finish is. All I know is one's a little bit rock and roll, the other one's a little bit country. So it's going to be interesting to have a game plan to go up against these guys or attend the tag time.
Yeah. Well, that's guys, interesting in itself.
I'll give them that.
But let me. I got to tell you, I went to Orange County Championship Wrestling on Saturday, and I ran into Guy Cool, and he said, "Hey, bro, are you going to Ruben's show?" I said, "Yes."
Wait, you went where?
We went to a show in Orange County, and I ran into Guy
Cool. Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
That's okay. And he said, "Hey, man, are you familiar with Brandon Gaston?" Or what? I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, I've heard of him, but I haven't really seen him or whatever." He said, "Well, this is a dude to keep your eye on." He said, "I guess they've teamed up a couple of times." And he said, "Man, this guy's got game." He said, "So make sure you check him out." So I'm like, "Yeah." Now, I'm familiar with Brandon Gaston and actually talked to Guy Cool about him. But Tommy Wilson, I'm not too familiar with. So tell us a little bit about that match, because just hearing how good Brandon Gaston is, I'm very interested in this match.
Well, first of all, have you checked out their promos? They're on the House of Wrestling, House of Warrior Wrestling page. Have you seen the promos with those two guys?
I have not. Let me put that down. Oh, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, Brandon Gatson, he's been around for a really long time. And we actually dropped the title to him in Orange County. But anyway, Gibson is by far probably one of the best athletes in SoCal right now.
Yeah. That's
like, hands down, this guy's a star.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you should keep your eye on him now. Like, you should have had your eye on him before. This guy is just destined for greatness.
Where you been?
Right.
Believe me, I know who he is. I know from his EWF days and stuff like that. I know who he is. I just haven't had the chance to sit down and watch a match or whatever. But just from this show alone, people say, "Hey, bro, you got to go down and check out this show." Now, putting him against Tommy Wilson, I'm assuming hard hitting. You know, it wouldn't be wrestling Brandon Gaston if it wasn't, if the dude didn't have game, right?
Well, Tommy Wilson and Gaston have a long history. They were tag champs together. They feuded together. They had a last man standing match about 10 years ago where they both almost bled to death.
Oh, jeez.
And Tommy Wilson just came out of retirement a couple months ago.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
And if you hear his promo. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what? Now that you said that, coming out of retirement, now I know who Tommy Wilson is. You know, I'm telling you, man, I'm old. I'm in my 50s, bro. So I get that short-term memory, and every time it kicks in. But yeah, and I, albeit vaguely, I do remember. So I've heard about that match that they had. They were tag team champs, or whatever. So is this the first time they met since then, or it's just a rematch? And they said, "Hey, man, let's go at it again one more time," or whatever.
No, what happened was, if you were at the last show we had, out in Monrovia, they were in a triple threat with Moving to Guerrero. And Brandon came in with a hurt knee. Tommy Wilson pretty much took him out of the match with a bun. He took a knee to the chair. He took a chair to his knee and took him out, which we thought he was done. But Brandon Gibson, being the fighter that he is and the premier athlete that he is, came back and ended up winning the match. Tommy Wilson, tried taking him out. And Brandon Gaston pretty much challenged him, saying, "You want to take me out? You know, they're looking for a new champion. He's the number one contender," and he challenged Tommy to a match, not a title, but a last standing match.
Yeah. that.
And of course, Tommy Wilson accepted, and Tommy Wilson defeated death about 2 years ago. This guy was dying in a hospital, couldn't even stand, couldn't walk, and was told he would never live. But I think he even died for a couple of minutes. So, you know, Tommy Wilson said he defeated death, you know, so Brandon Gatson's going to be nothing for him to compete against after the next show. So, you know, he went from never standing, never walk again to he will be the last man standing. He called himself the Mega Warrior that will win the battle to represent House of Warriors. So,
I can only imagine, you know, especially after that, nothing's going to faze him. But real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Radio, WrestleBossLive.com. I got my man Michael Parks hanging with me, and we're talking to Ruben Iglesias, talking about the big show coming up. It's going to be House of Warrior Wrestling. It's Alpha, the Alpha versus the Omega. It's Saturday, November 19th. It's at the House of Grace. It's at 12222 Philadelphia Street in Whittier, California. The doors open at 4:30. Bell time is 5 p.m. Adults $25, kids $20, and military also $20. So make sure you go and check it out. Now, I've seen Lois Grain many a times, and I saw her at a show, and she wrestled a guy. I can't remember who it was she wrestled. And, dude, you want to talk about underrated? This girl can go. So when I talked to Nicolette and I said, she shouldn't be saying this butt stuff. It's a church and all that. So she came back with a promo and says, hey, I'll put some jeans on. I'm not worried. I'll put some jeans on and we can go at it. Now, I would be worried, but when you team Nicolette with a team like the Heavy Hitters, you know, that's a team and a half right there. You know, Biggie Biggs and Tony Ray's been around for a long time. Those guys can go. Now, you know, that being said, I see the Vato Locos or whatever. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Them teaming with Lois Grain, I think, you know, that there's a lot to be said there. Now, what was your mindset when you put that match together?
Well, the mindset was basically, you know, Los Vatos and Lois Grain are over with the crowd. They're crowd favorites. And they could go in the ring, like you said. So I figured these three together is going to make one heck of a team. Now, when I had to find opponents for that, that was a challenge. You know, who could stand against Lois Grain? Who could stand against Los Vatos? And right away, the first girl that popped into my head was Nicolette.
Right.
Because I feel like she is, even though she's a little bit less experienced in the ring than Lois, she has that intimidation factor because it's just her looks, the way she talks, she has that confidence about her.
Right.
Which I think is going to throw Lois. It's already throwing Lois off. I mean, Lois can wear pants. That's not his repertoire.
Yeah, like you said, speaking of promos, they went back and forth. Well, I was baseball girl of the month, and she said, well, I was hockey Canadian. She goes, but I'll put some pants on, and we'll really separate, you know, the men from the boys. And we'll so that right there, you know, oh, shoot, I just lost my earpiece. Hold on a second. That right there. Yeah. I was, you know, well, that's cool and everything, but, dude, I saw Tony Reyes and Biggie Biggs wrestle at, like, a hardcore match against Smoke Serpents or something like that, and those dudes haven't lost a step. Those are two big dudes, and not only that, but with the experience and the way they can move for their size, you know, that I'm just going to put it out there, man. I'm a little worried for the Vato Locos. I mean, now, should I be, or can you convince me otherwise? Because I'm a little scared for them.
Well, to be honest, Los Vatos Locos, almost they came really close to beating the Gibson brothers. The tag title last year. And that was their first time teaming up.
Yeah.
So these guys click. They have it. They have the experience. You know, one's from EWF, the other's from SoCal Pro. You know, well-trained guys. They're young. You know, I think they can handle themselves. But Heavy Hitters, like you said, they have the experience and they're big. And out of respect for you, they talked really highly about you. They asked you to match. They asked you to match.
Yes, definitely. And I'm telling you, I just for the people listeners, I highly recommend that you come down and check out this show. Now, real quick, because we're running up against the clock. We're Mexican, dude. They'll throw us out of here so fast. You got Biagio on the crowd, Manny Mars, Gustin Uberstud, and everything. So that's shaping up to be a heck of a show. Now, the one question I have, the most important question that I have for you, because I'm coming down, because I got to check out this match. And, Mike, you and I could talk about it on the following week to give our review and let the people know who can't be there, which hopefully that they can. The main question I have is, will the barbecue hamburgers be there? Because I will definitely bring my wallet.
We are going to have food. I promise you we'll have food. I'm not sure about burgers yet. It all depends what I can get my hands on that week.
Okay, well, you keep me posted on that. I'm going to be there regardless. But I got to tell you, man, to this day, I still talk about it. That was one of the best hamburgers I ever had. And that, too, Mike, when I went to that show, man, you had so many people on that show, and I had a good time. I got to kick back. I got to watch. You know, you get to see a lot, like I say, a lot of wrestlers, you know, that I don't – because when you're working a show, you're working on your stuff. You don't have time. So I had a chance to watch the matches, and I had a great hamburger. I had a great time, and everything went really well. So for the people listeners, I highly recommend that you come and check it out. Don't forget – it's House of Warrior Wrestling. It's the Alpha versus the Omega. It's Saturday, November 19th at House of Grace. It's at 12222 Philadelphia Street in Whittier, California. Doors open at 4:30. Bell time is 5 p.m. Ruben, is there any place they can go to check it out if they need some more information or anything like that?
Yes, follow us on Instagram, House of Warrior Wrestling. Also, House of Warrior Wrestling on Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Hey, man, I'm looking forward, Ruben, to checking that out. Nicolette's been getting ready. I mean, we've been talking a lot about it and stuff like that.
That's
so
good. I'm
she's
glad
psyched
here.
About
I'm
it. Yeah, man, so we're definitely looking forward to checking that out. So,
and at the next show, we're going to announce our future venue. We have a new venue.
Okay.
We'll announce at the next show.
Okay, perfect. And then after you do that, we'll make sure we talk about it here on our show so we can get that place packed. All right, my man?
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. You got it. Ruben Iglesias, everybody. Make sure you check out House of Warrior Wrestling. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good show. I'm definitely going to be there, so make sure you're there. We'll be right back. Mike and I will be right back to do a little bit of news after this. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, Ruben. I'll see you soon, my man.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week or when to try a new one. This past Sunday, Jerry Villagrana presented a Spanish episode of Photo Versus. If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Mask.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Mask.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
You know, Mike, I got so much to do and so much to talk about, but, you know, I keep running up against the clock because basically because I keep running my mouth. But you kind of get, Mike, what we're talking about? Do you see how he almost had to cancel that show at the last minute?
Yeah, man. It's people think it's easy to put on a show. And you know, they need to realize, you know, you're an independent organization. And a lot of these places are like, yeah, whatever. You can do it. And next thing you know, we had the book. They don't want to tell you. They're not important, but you're not important.
Right.
Which sucks.
And a lot of
because you're just wanting to get your product out. And you just you want to have your show at a good venue, and you just want the opportunity to show people what you got. But these people with these good venues don't care. I'm just being honest.
They don't. Right. Well, if Ruben would have told those people, look, man, I'll give you a piece, you know, I'll give you $400, you know, to let me use your parking lot or whatever, I'm pretty sure he says, okay, no problem, or whatever. You know, and what company stays open 24/7 and needs a parking lot unless you're selling, what, drugs or something?
No. It's like an industrial area that they have round-the-clock employees coming in. You never know.
You never know. I don't believe it. I don't know any company that stays open 24/7 and you need the parking lot for that one because it's a big parking lot. I've been there before. I mean, it could probably hold maybe 40, 50 cars in there, maybe even more or whatever. So who knows? I mean, you know, but at least the show's a go. And for what he put together, I think it's going to be a pretty good show. So now, are you working that day, Mike, or what's your schedule look like? That's November 19th.
That's in 2 weeks?
Yes. You got to pick up Lindsay Lohan from rehab, or?
No. I will find out.
Okay.
Is that Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll find out next week.
Well, if it's a Sunday, will you be singing with the choir? Because I know Kirk Franklin and BB and CC might be in town. So you okay?
Well, you know I'm singing in the choir, so you know.
Well, you know, I get a lot of emails and a lot of messages that call you on that and say, can you have do something on the air? So when we get off the air, we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe we could hook it up. Are you down for that?
We'll talk.
Would you like to give us a little taste right now?
No.
All right. Well, real quick for the people listening, you're here at WrestleBoss Live. I'm going to give Eddie Bernal a call to talk some wrestling, some college wrestling and some high school wrestling. He didn't text me back, so I don't know if he's going to answer or not. So let's give him a quick call. If not, Mike, you and I could do some news till we get Mark in here, all right? Talk some Sabu. Talk some Sabu and talk some the show that's on Vice Channel. Dark Side of the Ring. Hello?
Yo.
Hey, is this Eddie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Eddie. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chula. Got my man Michael Parks here. And on the line with us now, Eddie Bernal. Eddie, I got to tell you, man, I got a lot to talk to you about. When I went through your profile and looked at a lot of stuff or whatever, I want to get to some stuff. But real quick, my man Michael Parks is here with us. Mike, say hi to Eddie real quick.
What's going on, man?
Hey, just chilling.
Hey, you know, real quick, before we get into it, give me a little bit about your background because when I booked you and everything. They were telling me, oh, he's an MMA fighter that does wrestling on the side or whatever. And I'm like, are you sure? Yeah. Well, let me check out his profile and everything. And when I checked it out, it was a lot of wrestling based on your profile, which I want to talk about. So, real quick, can you give us that background? Are you training for mixed martial arts? But I know you just recently got the assistant coaching job for a high school team. So, tell me a little bit about that background.
Yeah, so I'm not competing at MMA, but it's something that I'm interested in. But I'm just coaching right now, and I would say probably wrestling base is definitely how I would describe it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I want to get into a couple things real quick, but we'll take this around the table because this is what Mike and I talk a lot about. I know you're not too familiar with the show, but this particular show, The Wrestle Boss, is more, you know, MMA based and judo and jiu-jitsu and everything like that. I've had a million people on. Now, real quick, before we get into anything, before we talk what I want to talk about, I had Seth Daniels on the show. He works with the Abu Dhabi, putting it together. Also, Who's Number One. And because I worked for Scotty Nelson, who's the owner of On the Mat, worked for him for 7 years, which I still do. We just don't have a podcast anymore. And he's in with them too. So this is what Mike and I have been talking about for quite some time. The Abu Dhabis, you know, they just finished and they were awesome. Of course, you know, Gordon Ryan just ran through everybody like it was nothing. But when I had him on, Seth Daniels, he said, look, I'm not testing anymore. I'm not drug testing anymore, he said, because a lot of the Brazilian guys, they can do steroids legally or they don't get busted for or whatever, you know, and for some reason they come over here and they're able to pass a USADA test or whatever. You know, it's at a disadvantage because my guys are getting tested, so nobody's getting tested. If you want to take steroids or do whatever you want to do, PEDs, at least it's an even playing field. So when I saw Gordon Ryan and I saw Andreas Galvao, I mean, these guys were humongous. But then I thought, well, at least it is a level playing field. So real quick, would you agree with that, or do you think they should do something to really, you know, get the testing in or whatever? But to me, it seemed like that was the answer. Just let them go. If you want to, at least you're on an even playing field. Can you divulge on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, fully know. If I was able to do that, like giving the opportunity, and everybody was doing it, maybe. But like, that's just crazy. It's not promoting like what good health is and longevity, and trying to find shortcuts and trying to maximize everything. You know, could get into the event. It just takes away from what people are trying to do, you know.
Yeah, and you know, especially I talk to Scotty all the time, and I'm like, why is Gordon Ryan on such a different level? I mean, it's just like he would say, hey man, this is what I'm gonna do or whatever, and some of the people even know what he's gonna do, and they just can't stop it, you know. So Donaher, who was his coach, when I had a couple people on here, and they said, well, the way they train is like a different type of formula, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But still, when it's one-on-one, you know, or whatever, it's just amazing how he can control these people and do it. And he just seems very relaxed, you know, and just bam, and it's over. So real quick before we get into talking some NCAA wrestling and some wrestling coaching and stuff like that, in your mind, you know, I'll just put you on the spot. What do you think it would take? I mean, you know, the guy just has everything. Everybody gets old. So once you get older, then you start slowing down. And then, of course, you know, stuff starts to dissipate. But right now, in his prime, can you divulge anything what it might take? I mean, you know, I wouldn't know the formula. What do you think?
Yeah, just, like, initial thoughts would just be to, like, figure out every single thing that this guy is doing. Do that in the exact thing and see if you can do it better. And then, you know, if that's like what pinnacle is, like I do it. That's just my first approach, and that's my first thought. That's like things that I try to do in terms of my coaching is see like great programs are doing and try to replicate some of that stuff. And I know that I don't know anything, but where I would try to begin is like understanding them and like how they do.
Well, you know, we talk about wrestling-based jiu-jitsu, you know, or wrestling-based for MMA. I don't know if you watched Dana White's the Tuesday show that he had, but he kind of made Bo Nickel start, you know, there. And a lot of people are like, oh, dude, they should have just, you know, jumped him straight to the UFC and gave him a contract or whatever. But, you know, I think he's doing it right. I mean, this dude is amazing. Of course he was amazing when he was at Penn State. But, I mean, just – and I don't know why this happens, but he's using his wrestling. He's, you know, he's trying to close that distance, get him down, you know, and do what he needs to do. For some reason, a lot of these wrestlers, like Yoel Romero, I'll give you an example, they're such good wrestlers, but I don't know if they feel a knockout punch or something and they like it, but then they just want to start. Even Ronda with her judo, you know, when she would close that distance and take you down, then she started wanting to stand up, and that was kind of the demise. So, first of all, have you got to see Bo Nickel at all in the UFC Dana White's series?
Yeah, and I don't think that he would be kind of taking what, you know, in your example, Ronda Rousey, in terms of talking somebody out and just to do that. He has said in a previous interview that he has felt that, like, exhilarating feeling of knocking somebody out. And I think just being able to say it, he's already accepted it and not overtake what he does good and, like, what he has to assist, and not going to do it. So I think he recognizes that. And he's just really, like, cool and calm, like, mentally. So he can see that and fix that. So I don't see that being a problem for him. Man, just, like, I'm a huge fan. I've always been a fan. As soon as I've seen him, so, like, now, like, it's just really cool to see his development. Just being such a blessing to see that is just cool.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, you know, the wrestlers are so used to the grind, you know, because you're constantly, you know, training, you're constantly wrestling, and then when you go to a tournament, like, you don't have, well, sometimes, you know, it's people that you've wrestled before, they're in the same weight class, and you keep going, but, you know, especially in high school, you hit these tournaments, you're wrestling different people, you have to worry about yourself, you can't worry about your opponent, so I think that's why wrestlers do so well in MMA. Now, that being said, the NCAA wrestling is right around the corner. You know, it's always been Iowa and Penn State. I've always been an Iowa fan just strictly from the tradition because, you know, with Dan Gable, and then you got the Brand brothers, you know, coaching, and those guys are just, dude, they're just like machines that just keep going. And I never forget that quote when Dan Gable said, you know, I always tell my wrestlers, I don't care if you win or lose. I just want that person to come off the mat and go, I never want to wrestle that dude again. He goes, I just want you to give it. I never forgot that. So that's why I'm so, you know, drawn to Iowa just from the tradition. But Penn State has just been, you know, to me, answer me this question. Do you think it's a matter of once they start seeing how well they're doing, like Kale Sanderson, you know, is the coach, and they started doing really well. Now they're really starting to progress. So it seems like all the good wrestlers coming out of high school see that, so it's easier for them to recruit and start getting the good wrestlers. You think that's what it is? But, I mean, Iowa's still there, but it seems like once they get to a certain level, all the good wrestlers want to start going there, right?
Yeah, Penn State has all the superstars. They make superstars. They're really blowing up lately. Me, if I had it my way, if I had my own program, like resources and kind of infrastructure like that, I would just be a hybrid of them both. So, like those two programs, like I admire them both. Probably I'd be able to criticize them for just how like legendary programs are. I can't. Like I would just be lucky to be able to be part of this program, a very long legacy and history on there, and it's really cool to see like what's going on now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Now, since I looked on your profile and you got the assistant coaching job at Pacific Palisades High, you know, give me your thoughts on that because I coached wrestling at Millikan High for 6 years. Okay, the first couple of years, you know, it kind of took me a while to get acclimated because, you know, you got these seniors that are 17, 18 years old, and it was kind of hard to keep them focused because they're into the girls and stuff like that. That's why I always was drawn to the freshman, sophomore wrestlers because they're kind of, you know, new getting into it, and I kind of was able to teach them the way I wanted. They were a little more focused because they haven't got to that point yet. Now, That's where I had a little bit of problem, just keeping them focused, especially the seniors or whatever. So going into assistant coaching at Pacific Palisades High, you know, are you familiar with that? Or, you know, because I was always worried, like, I didn't want them to get mad at me, but then on the other hand, it's like, dude, it's only when you think about it about 4.5 months. I just need you to focus for these 4.5 months, man. After that, you know, do what you want. But I still had a little bit of trouble. Well, let me give you an example. We had a tournament,
yeah,
and the guys had to weigh in at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? So everybody comes in and weighs in. Okay, they make weight, whatever. So I had three seniors that they had to be back by 9:15, 9:30 for the tournament, and I couldn't find them. I'm like, where the heck are these guys at? Or whatever, it was getting close to 9 o'clock. They came back, and they had went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles after the weigh-ins to go eat breakfast. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Coach, we went to Roscoe's, and they were so sluggish, and they just had nothing because they were so full or whatever. So, like, little things like that is what I'm talking about. So you coming into this job, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, you think you just have to go at them a certain way, or give me your thoughts on that coming in as an assistant coach.
Yeah, as an assistant coach, I just try to think whatever the decision is. And I think he's got a good example, and he leads by example pretty well himself. How to live a good life, make smart choices. And the way I see my position is to support myself and fill everything else up. There's not too much to it. I try to keep it pretty simple on things like that with seniors. I have stuff with, have had previous experience, and there's things I try to teach. Old Die Hard, as much as you, the way that you want it to go, it's probably not going to go that way. And I've anticipated that a little bit, and that's just my perspective. And, seeing it, it's not too surprising. And just know that I'm going to try to show up and try to fight for them. Things like that, teachable moments, I think. And as long as, it doesn't, affect the long road, down the road, these things, can't keep happening. If it happens, okay, we shouldn't do that again, but if it keeps happening, talk about it, clarifying expectations, hey, this is where we're going to be at this time, making sure that I'm communicating well. It doesn't happen. I try to keep my part in it, and that keeps me from being very, very outspoken a lot of the time. That happens. When I'm leading us all in, trying to get everybody together on the same page and
Yeah, and there's no substitute for experience. You know what I mean? Because you've been through it. You know what it's all about or whatever. So, that's what I'm talking about. It gives the kids structure and all that. I'm always pushing wrestling and all the people say, oh, man, but, you got to do your jiu-jitsu and your judo. But, wrestling, it gives them structure, man. You have to be on and you get used to making weight, not going at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle and eating. So the best thing about it, though, for Eddie Bernal himself, is that, you're still in it. You're still wrestling with the guys, keeps your time in, everything good. You're not just sitting home or whatever. So to me, it was always great because I always had that structure. And I knew, hey, man, I can't be coming in, I got to lead by example, so I can't be coming in all, heavy or whatever. So it just keeps you going and keeps you in the loop. So with that being said, after, wrestling season's over or whatever, you're just going to kind of see what happens, or you're going to, continue to train and see if the MMA comes down the line, or maybe now, since there's so many things the Eddie Bravo Invitational, Who's Number One and stuff like that, maybe get into some grappling or whatever, because you can make some pretty good money at that now.
Yeah, I'm interested in competing in jiu-jitsu down the road and striking and stuff like that, and the martial arts would be introduced after that. I'm just taking it, day by day, very slow, and just making sure that I'm focusing on what I'm responsible for right now, and at least making little bit of progress, like all the time, so since I do, like, I am interested in competing in like jiu-jitsu or some sort of grappling tournament, wrestling would be awesome. Yeah, I'm just like taking it really slow right now. I'm just focusing on coaching right now and just training, and staying in shape and working on, like, you know, all the other components of being competition ready. So just, you know, day by day, little stuff. That's something I'm definitely interested in. Like, I love watching mixed martial arts and stuff like that, and seeing that there's a kind of like a resurgence, it seems, of like popularity in wrestling with mixed martial arts, in particular in the UFC. It's really cool to see, and it's kind of got like me kind of excited and kind of wanting to do a little bit of the same, something similar, or something involving, you know, competing or martial arts or coaching. So yeah, I mean, I'm just keeping my ears open right now, and just focusing on what I have to do, and it takes up most of the day to begin with. So I don't worry about it too much right now, but that down the road, pretty soon, I'm going to be in the position to, you know, start making some decisions.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna keep up with you on the social media and stuff like that. And after the season's over, we'll get you back on and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the season went and coaching and, you know, what the stuff that you went through, and then see what the future holds. I'm very interested, man. Anybody who's got, you know, that spark or whatever that wants to keep going and helping coach wrestling and maybe move on to grappling or stuff like that, that's what it's all about. So for the people listeners, Eddie Bernal, keep an eye on him. If you want to keep up with him on his social media, just put Eddie Bernal in your little Facebook search engine. He keeps everybody up to date on there, especially once the season gets going. I'm telling you, man, he's going to be so proud to see these kids progress and everything. He's going to be putting a lot of stuff up there. So we'll revisit you again real soon. All right, my friend?
Awesome. I'll be looking forward to it.
Hey, man, it was great having you on. For the people listeners, make sure you check out Eddie Bernal. Unfortunately, I'm running up against the clock because I talk too much, but we'll definitely be in touch. All right, my man?
Sweet. Talk to you later.
All right. We'll
talk
to you soon. Eddie Bernal, everybody. Make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this.
Lucha-Mask.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Mask.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Sorry, Mike. You know I get on a roll or whatever. I got Mark coming at 8 o'clock. I got to get going or whatever, so I'll get to you, man. Don't think I forgot about you.
Hello. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Mark, it's Fabiano. You're live on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's beautiful. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got my man Michael Parks with me, and on the line right now, Mark Ortiz himself. Got so much to talk about, but real quick, you know, I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but Mike and I have. We even met at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday because he's been trying to work some stuff out to get his shows going and stuff like that. But you know how it is, man. I mean, we talked about
it. Oh, I know.
Or whatever. Real quick, Mike, say hi to Mark.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Mike? How you been, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, thanks.
That's good.
You know,
that's awesome.
We had Ruben Iglesias on, who runs a show out in Whittier, and then I had Lance on with me last week on the other show.
Right.
But I got to tell you, as awesome as these shows are, okay, the best hamburger I ever had was at Ruben's show. They had a barbecue hamburger with double meats or whatever, and I thought that was the end-all be-all. But I talked about it on the air with Lance. That hamburger I had at that last show was I almost started crying. That's what Lance was like. When you can make a hamburger to make a grown man go to tears, that's
right.
Because people go, yeah, right, whatever. But I had such a good time. We went, even though Louis, you know, stepped over the line and I have to completely annihilate him or whatever, just being there. I spent so much. Dude, Mike, I was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I went and I bought two of those pins. One of them was the original WCW championship belt. I bought one of those.
Right.
And the million dollar man belt was so cool. I bought that one. So after our matches and everything, Nicolette said, hey, I'm going to go to the taco truck. Do you want to say, yeah, give me whatever. I'll take a couple of tacos, whatever. So she comes back with this hamburger, and it was a meat patty, carne asada, another meat patty, and then the fixings. And it was the best thing I've ever had in my life. It was amazing or whatever. So
nice.
With all that being said, that was great. But, you know, I got to tell you, we talked about it before. I think you got something here. When you get that crowd that likes the music and then they see the luchas or whatever, it's kind of the same people, and it did really well. So real quick, since I got Mike with me and we've been talking about putting together shows, talk real quick about, you know, just what it takes to get this show on. I know you talked to the owner and said, hey, look, man, I think they would like Lucha here, and it kind of came to fruition, and now I think it's going to snowball into something really big, right?
Pretty much. We have December booked already. We're going to drop an announcement on Sunday about that. But, yes, last show was pretty awesome, and we had a great show. We had a good turnout, and we got asked to return again, and that's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to be doing. And, I mean, you and Louie are going to have a banger. It's a no DQ submission match. So that in itself is already interesting to me.
Well, you have no idea. You have no idea, Mark. I'm telling you, we Nicolette and I, we have to drive to work every morning, and that's all we talk about. I go, I got so much in store for him. Well, I think I said, you know what? Don't even worry about it. He is in for it because I'm older or whatever. But then I kind of want to thank Louis because he kind of made me get myself together and get myself in shape. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't know you were gonna come with all that. So now you're gonna really have to see what I'm all about. I mean, I've been not that I'm this, you know, great wrestler, but I never back down from a fight, you know, and I've always went against the big dudes, Pogo the Clown, Death Certificate, you know, Matt Sinister, all those other, like, just kind of like trying to prove something. That's probably why I have two hip replacements. But that's, you know, when you bring that, that's, I'm like, okay, now you've done something. So now he's going to have to feel the wrath. But not only that, when we were talking about the card, you know, JBD and Rickster, I don't know what happened because I was off to the side. I was still enjoying that hamburger, so I still had tears in my eyes.
Nice.
But I kept going back and forth, and I'm like, what the heck? Because I thought they were friends. But then they're like, JBD's like, well, I'm a biker, dude. If you want to use a bike chain, I'll show you what I'm really on. And Rickster's like, yeah, bro, I'll do it.
Right.
I think you're solid. So they went back and forth. So talk a little bit about that. I thought those guys were friends. What happened?
So pretty much, on our first show ever back in Stanton, we had Rickster and JBD, a straight-up match, you know, traditional wrestling rules. But then, you know, Domino Grimes came out, got involved in that match. And ever since then, Rickster was never really able to get his return, you know, get his receipt, so to say, you know. So they never wrestled in a whole year. Until that tag team match on the last show. But, again, you saw JBD and Domino pull some scandalous stuff and got the W. So Rickster just wanted to throw out the challenge, I guess, and they came up with a chain match pretty much.
Yeah. And I guess since
so that match is pretty steady. Yeah, yeah.
JBD
being a biker, but then Rickster being the berserker of SoCal, you know, it's an adamantium bike chain match, so it's going to take a lot for these guys to break it.
That's what Mike and I were talking about before we went on air. I said, Rickster to me looks like if Rush and Elito Perro Aguayo had a baby.
Oh, there you go.
But Mike, let me get Mike's thoughts on this because he's seen both Rickster and JBD wrestle.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike? You think JBD could take? To me, Rickster's a little too much energy, and he brings the fight, but he's, you know, taking a big step up, going bike chains with JBD. Real quick, Mike, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I like Rickster. I like it. I'll go with him. Any matches in him. Don't let me down, Rick.
Yeah, man.
Well, yeah, Lance is actually really high on Rickster as well. He actually signed him to a little bit of a contract with us. So in the future, Rickster and ASCW are going to be, you know, doing some better stuff. We have a lot of hope for Rickster within our brand. So hopefully he comes out on top on Saturday.
I'm definitely looking forward to that match. But then when Lance and I were talking, I'm like, well, does Luxor have some – Luxor could have some screws loose? I said, because, you know, Red Spider's a big dude. And I didn't
yeah.
– did he come out of the woodwork and say, hey, man, I want to take a step up and challenge this dude? Or does he have a few screws loose or whatever?
So,
because he's a big dude. How did all that come about?
So pretty much, if you remember on the last show, we had – it was supposed to be a tag match, but it ended up being a three-way – Luxor kind of got, you know, the short end of the stick on that one, so we decided, and plus we're huge on Luxor Kid. If you guys haven't checked him out, from Tijuana, he comes out all the time, his family's very humble, like, just an honest wrestler that I wanted to just give another chance to maybe, you know, it's a big show on Saturday, it's our 1 year anniversary, so why not try to have a good lucha match, and hopefully, you know, we get a title change.
Yeah, that's...
Because, you know, me and Lance have been going back, and no diss to Red Spider, but, you know, he's one of his boys, so I kind of already have to have a chip on my shoulder for him.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
and then, yeah, of course, it's going to be a great match, man, so...
Yeah, well, I wish him luck, but, you know, I got to tell you, man, I was in the back, and, okay, we talked about that also with Lance. You know, BC Killer and T-Rex are big dudes. I mean, I don't know if
yes.
you have to put extra welds or whatever in the ring post or whatever.
We definitely had to go get a different ring for this one after their last match.
And then the way, but not only that, but the way these guys move. I mean, when you're T-Rex and you weigh, you know, almost 400 pounds, but you can do a standing moonsault, I'm like, dude, where did that come from? So we're in the back, and he comes up to you and says, hey, Fab, you got any extra tape? And I'm like, yeah, bro, but you, he goes, no. From what I'm going to do to this guy, I need some extra tape. I'm like, dude, take the whole roll. You can have as much as you want. So,
right.
They went back and forth. I mean, is there no end to you know, the damage that they could do to each other? And then it just seems like they just don't get enough. So this one here, BC Killer versus T-Rex, this has got to be the end all to be all. I mean, if when this is over, somebody's going to have to say, okay, I had enough, and either retire or take some time off or something, because those two are two big dudes. It's like when the Mike, you know when you go to Catalina and you see the bison and they get mad, they start ramming each other or whatever? it's kind of like that, right, Mark?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, these guys tore it down. We had a really good setup for them. They used every weapon that we brought to the match. They tried to kill each other, no pun intended. But these guys just wanted to do it again. They didn't want to end it at just one. So that's why we labeled it part two. So hopefully it doesn't go to a part three. But if it has to, ASCW is willing to host that match again. But let's see what happens after Saturday with that one. Terex has been on a roll. BC Killer's been on a roll. He's coming back into his fold as one of the best SoCal deathmatch wrestlers, in my opinion. But and that's why I'm happy to have him as ASCW, you know, in the main event for Saturday.
Yeah, well, something must spark or whatever, because T-Rex, we're talking, we're all cool, and he's like, hey, bro, yeah, remember when this happened, and, you know, back in the days when I was training, and we're talking, and all of a sudden, BC Killer, he sees him out the corner of his eye, and then it just stopped, you know, and I don't want to say I got scared, but, yeah, I got scared. I'm like, dude, what is he doing, man, why is he, and he just looked at him, and then he looked at him, and he goes, what are you looking at? He goes, what are you looking at? He goes, hey, man, don't worry about it, you'll get your, yeah, man, I know, and they were going back and forth, I said, hey, I'm going to go check out the merch, I'll be back. Because I didn't want to get in the middle of that. Mark,
well, I don't know if you remember at the Rumble, that's pretty much what happened in the back. And I had to tell Terex, well, you're not on the show tonight. Let's go to the crowd. And he still, you know, went in the match and literally challenged BC. You know, so that, you know, they just wanted to go at it, man. Since then,
I can beat that because they were going back and forth. So Mark, I don't know where he went, but he brought back a table with chairs attached to it. It was blue.
Oh yeah,
right
the big circle thing.
And put it right in the middle to to keep them separated, or whatever.
He had to do
what he had to do to keep them separated. But for the people listeners, you got to come and check it out. It's the 1-year anniversary show. It's the OC Takeover. It's Saturday, November 5th. That's this Saturday. It's at the world famous Doll Hut. It's at 107 South Adams Street in Anaheim, California. Doors open at 6. Bell time is 6:30. I suggest that you get there early, because I got there early, but not as early as I wanted to. But by the time I checked out all the merch and checked everything out, I mean, you know, I lost track of time. And you want to have enough time to come and check out all that, because they can actually get in a little bit earlier to check out all that stuff, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty much doing, like, some vendors, not as many as we had last time, but definitely some food is going to be there. There's going to be a barbecue truck showing up later in the night. There's going to be that sushi truck that was there last time. I forget the name. Sorry, guys. But they were really good. I actually had, like, a teriyaki roll thing. It was really good. And then, so we're going to have pretty much some vendors as well around maybe 5 o'clock. Gigs should literally start around 6:30, so.
Perfect. I highly recommend that you come down and check it out. I had such a good time. You'll get to see Louie get annihilated, T-Rex and BC going crazy with Dexter Wells. It is a good time, man. I highly recommend that you come down and check it out. So, Mark, I will see you on Saturday, my man. For the
Definitely.
People listening, make
Definitely.
Sure you check out OC Takeover. It's going to be slamming. And I'm just looking forward to it, man. You know, it takes a lot to put on a show, and when you put that much into it, you get that much out of it. So I definitely am looking forward to that. So I'll see you on Saturday. All right, my man?
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on again, and thanks for the plug. And, yeah, I'll see you guys Saturday. Come out. And we got bigger future going on, you know.
Absolutely.
So,
bring
some
money.
Awesome.
I'm definitely bringing money, because there's so much stuff to buy over there. It's ridiculous. So I will,
yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to have some really rad raffle prizes. So really cool.
Definitely.
Maybe some rare wrestling figures.
I don't know yet. That's what I'm talking
about.
I'm going to have to stop at, the ATM on the way up there. All right, Mark.
For sure. All right, Bobby.
We'll
thank
right
you so much, man.
Hey, anytime. We'll be right back to close the show after this. Mark Ortiz, everybody. Make sure you check out OC Takeover. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard, from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Man, Mike, before I know it, dude, it's already time to close the show. But it's good that we get Mark in here, because you know, Mike, you know what it takes to put a show together. So when it does come together and does really well, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we talk, I think when you put that show together, you want to keep that momentum going. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dude, I'm nipping at the butt, Bobby.
Well, real quick before we end the show, because Mike and I, we talked a lot about the Tales from the Territories, and I just think Old School Memphis is just amazing, man. When I see that, I'm like, man, that's what it's all about. But, you know, a lot of people catch heat about these shows, hardcore shows or whatever you want to call them. But I was watching that Dark Side of the Ring with Atsushi Onita, and I mean, that dude just went. Have you seen it, Mike?
I saw part of it. But I remember when he was in Wind.
Yeah, well, he took it to another level, and just the little things that he did. Because he brought in Terry Funk, who was, you know, babyface central, and Atsushi Onita had, you know how the ring explodes, so we have like a timer, and then it will go 5, 4, and if you're not out of that ring by 1, it's gonna blow up. So
yeah.
It was five seconds. He escaped, But with 5 seconds, he turns around and he sees Terry Funk, and he goes in and he saves him and pulls him out right before the ring blew up and turned him into an instant babyface. And I'm like, man, this guy's a genius, you know, or whatever. So it's just, if done right, you know, it'll catch the people's interest, and people will want to come check out your show and know, hey, man, this is a real show. This is what it's all about or whatever. So this is what we talk about. So people say, well, Mike's been saying he's going to do a show forever, but it's not that easy. You have to, you know, have everything, because you just, anybody could do one show, rent a ring, and you're done. You know what I mean? But if you want to continue and you want people to be interested in your stuff, you have to take the time to even just storylines, right?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I was on Facebook or Twitter, and there was a wrestler that said, you know, I'm only booking for organizations that tell stories.
Yeah.
He said, I can go in there and I can, you know, I can put on a 25-minute awesome match and go do high spots and flips and stuff. He said, I want storytelling. That's what pro wrestling is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there it is right there. This is
Spot Fest 22.
Yeah, but he has the mentality. He knows what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So you know, I'm gonna be honest, bro. I'm just gonna be honest. This is why Kevin Kleinrock's always been cool. I mean, he's just such a patient man, and I don't like to work for somebody when I can't put the time in that I want to put the time in. You know what I mean? So I gotta be honest, man. I'm on the tail end. You know, I have no problem being in the background or whatever. I talked to Kayam. I'm like, dude, I'd like November 20th to be my last match, whatever. He's like, well, bro, I still got a couple plans here and all that. For him, definitely, because he's always been cool with me. But I'm just going to be honest, man. I enjoy my weekend, and when I have that day off, to just go to the match and go see the talent and go to Mike and go, hey, bro, I think if you put Rickster against this guy, it's going to blow the roof off. But yeah, and we just write stuff down, and we get to see these guys, not just on video or whatever. You get to see them, you know, actually up close and what they got. Just like when this Venom Guerrero, I'm like, dude, bring him. We'll put him against this person, and it's going to blow the roof off the place. So you kind of get what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's the best. It's fun to go out to the independent shows and see everything.
See everything.
And pretty much. Look at the positives and the negatives. What can we do to make the show better?
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm talking about. You know, Mike, honestly, sometimes I get sour to the business when I book a show and this person comes up and says, well, you should have paid me $150, and I'm not wrestling this guy, and sometimes I just like, oh, and I don't want to be that old man that's complaining or whatever, but, you know, it's never nothing personal. It's just I feel if you do this and wrestle with this guy, it's going to get you to where you want to get, and I just wish I could get that across to those guys. But anyways, you know, we're running up against the clock. So, you know, that's the game plan. I love Kevin Kleinrock to death, and him, Scotty Nelson, people like that, I really appreciate it. But, you know, I'm old, dude. I'm 57 years old. I'm ready to, you know, pack it in and get to the background and I don't know, what's the word, Mike, consultant? Hey, Mike, this is what I think we should do, or, you know, talk to this company. Hey, bro, if you bring this guy in, or because, again, Mike, not that I'm this great person, but I have more than a few people saying, hey, bro, can you meet with me and help me book this and whatever, and I'm, like, totally down to do that because I just want to see wrestling get back to that, just when I see that Memphis, you know, type of thing or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so that's...
I get where you're at, and it's like you're almost at peace with walking away.
Yeah, it just, especially when you can't do what you used to be able to do, or you can only do one show a month because it takes you 3 weeks to recover or whatever. But we'll keep it moving. I mean, we'll keep everybody abreast of the situation or whatever. So, Mike, appreciate it, man. Every, you know, you coming on. I know you don't get to talk that much when I'm talking to these people, which everybody tells me I talk too much. But I'll keep in touch. We'll see what's going on. If you can hit these couple of shows, let me know. Definitely want to go check those out. So for the people listening to us, make sure you stay tuned. We'll keep everybody posted on the social media and everything. Mike, I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, I don't know if you're able to go to the show on Saturday. If not, I will give you the lowdown, and then we'll meet up again. How about that?
Yeah, and hey, anybody out there wants to get in contact with me, hit me up at PacificWrestlingAlliance@gmail.com. If you have ideas, if you just want to talk to them, email me, PacificWrestlingAlliance@gmail.com. Also on Instagram, PWA_official. You'll see me.
Yeah.
We can talk pro wrestling. We can talk all we want to. So hit me up.
And we'll keep everybody posted with Kenneth Parks, Jada Pinkett, Britney Spears, and everybody. We'll make sure we keep everybody up to date on what's happening with the crew. So I'll see you soon, my friend. And for everybody else, we'll see. Hopefully, we'll get a couple of more shows in before I pack it in totally. All right, my man?
Right on.
All right. We'll see everybody here soon. Keep up. Yeah, keep up to date with us on the social media, and we'll talk to you then. All right, Mike, I'll talk to you.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.